First reading is from Genesis 2, 15 through 17. The Lord took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to till and keep it. And the Lord commanded the man, "You may freely eat of every tree in the garden, but of the tree of knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat. For in the day that you eat it, you shall die."
Now, the second passage, the New Testament gospel passage, is from Matthew chapter 4, 1 through 11, commonly known as the temptations of Jesus. So listen to this word of God for each of us. "Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tested by the devil. He fasted 40 days and 40 nights, and afterward he was famished. The tempter came and said to him, 'If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread.' But he answered, 'It is written, one does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God.' Then the devil took him to the holy city and placed him on the pinnacle of the temple, saying to him, 'If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and on their hands they will bear you up, so that you will not dash your foot against a stone.' Jesus said to him again, 'It is written, do not put the Lord your God to the test.' Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to him, 'All these I will give you if you will fall down and worship me.' Then Jesus said to him, 'Away with you, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve only him.' Then the devil left him, and suddenly angels came and waited on him." This is the word of the Lord. Well, since I guess the Supreme Court's been in the news over the weekend, I had a story from not this Supreme Court, but from a former Supreme Court justice. Former Supreme Court Justice Oliver Wendell Holmes. He was a very important figure, I suppose, in history. He was a very, very busy man. And one day, he left Washington on a train from Union Station. And soon, the conductor asked Justice Holmes for his ticket. And Justice Holmes began to get very agitated and very upset as he could not find his ticket. I can understand that. I mean, if you're a man sitting at the top of our court system, you should not be trying to ride a train without a ticket. That would be unethical. So the conductor, sensing this, said, "Justice Holmes, I am sure that when you locate your ticket, you can send it to the railroad. I'm sure there will be no problem. Please, please, don't worry about the ticket." And Justice Holmes was still upset and agitated. And he said to the conductor, "Good sir, the question is not where is my ticket. The question is, where am I going?" Have you ever had that experience? Knowing where you are going is important in life. Probably some of us have experience in organizations, writing vision statements, mission statements, so that we know where we're going as a business or an agency or even a church. It's a way to identify our core values. It gives us a clear idea of where we're going. Then decisions can be made in light of those core values, right? So organizations work very hard to come up with little, little short sayings to focus their vision. Like if you're a fan of TED Talks, the TED vision statement is, quote, spread ideas, two words. Or maybe you like the dentist office version of the mission statement, drill it, fill it, and bill it. You know that one? They know where they're going. So some of us have thought about that from a personal point of view. Do we know where we're going in terms of our values and our faith life? Well, if you've ever thought about that question, then consider this interesting passage from Matthew chapter 4. Consider that Jesus is once again in a time of transition. If we read between the lines, now back in this point in the gospel, he's transitioning from working with his father Joseph to being about the business of the Father, God Almighty. And we know from the account of Matthew that Jesus, after his baptism, in which the Spirit of God descended on him, he was driven into the wilderness, right, by that same Spirit for 40 days. That number is, of course, a biblical, very biblical number. Moses was on Mount Sinai for 40 days. The children of Israel wandered in the desert for 40 years. It's a highly symbolic number. Lent, the Lenten season is 40 days. So Jesus goes into the wilderness to prepare himself for the world-changing ministry that would follow. Where was he going? Well, we read that he was tempted there. He was tempted to take many different paths. I would slightly correct that word tempted to the more accurate translation, which we read was tested. He was tested in the desert. He came face to face with whatever you want to call evil. Now, C.S. Lewis, the writer, in his famous book called The Screwtape Letters, he wrote that evil often comes disguised as something good. And Lewis describes these as what he calls wedges. You know what a wedge is, if shaped very narrow on one end and wide at the other. If you've been splitting firewood this year, I don't know if many of you are still doing that, you just get that narrow end into the log, give it a few good whacks of the hammer, and the wood will split, irreparably divided and broken. That's what a wedge is. So Lewis says that wedges are little things that come into our lives seeming insignificant at first, a little discouragement, defeatism, maybe anxiety, worry, fear. And then there's an opening for a larger wedge in life. So in this way, Jesus was tested with things that seemed good on the outside, and he had to respond. So the first test was turn the stones into bread. Food's good. Hunger was an issue in his day. Jesus, it says in the scripture, was famished. He was hungry. Why not turn a few stones into bread? What's wrong with that? Jesus could have done that, but he knew that to give gratification to immediate needs would take him on the wrong path. As much as he had compassion for hungry people, he was not going to be that kind of Messiah. Like a candidate for public office promising what he or she will do for you. So he rejected the request of instant gratification. The next temptation, recorded in Matthew, also in Luke, go to the pinnacle of the temple. Commentators say that the valley was 450 feet below, so he was dared to jump off and leap off into the valley. He was even tempted by a misreading of Scripture. Scripture says he will command his angels to protect you. Go ahead and jump. Evil takes what is good and twists it, spins it for its own purpose. Kind of like taking verses of Scripture out of context way back in the day to defend slavery or oppress women or minorities. So Jesus is tested even by a reading of the Scriptures. Go ahead, jump off. It'll be sensational. When the angels rescue you, you'll get media coverage. The whole town will be buzzing about it. Jesus could have been a superstar, a sensation, as we call it. Of course, later, he did signs and wonders, but it was never for publicity, and so often he would say to his followers, say nothing about it. So finally, for the third one, he's taken to a high place where he could see for miles and miles. All this could be yours, whispered evil. Kind of like one of those ancient kings of Scotland who had his castle built on the edge of a cliff so he could look out to sea and say, all this is mine. Now the castle's long eroded and mostly fallen into the sea, and no one really even remembers his name. So the point is, Jesus' core values are being put to the test. Like many of us experience, exchange our principles for temporary, artificial, material gain right now. The whole ocean can be yours if you just put this little wedge into your life right now. We're all sure that Jesus could have been an earthly king, one to rival Caesar, but once again, this was not his path. He rejected all this. He turned back these dubious temptations with passages from Scripture. It was becoming clear, you know, through this passage, he was not going to be about providing gratification or military conquest or even celebrity. But he came for salvation. Brings us salvation because the wedges we experience that compromise our core values are real. And they happen to us every day. And they're hard to resist. We're easily tested and tempted. We need salvation more than anything else. Good news is we have access to this. What I think is quite unusual about this passage is, since Jesus was experiencing this out in the wilderness, the only way this story would have been transmitted is by his telling of the story to his followers. It would have been kind of an object lesson, you know, as in, here's what happened to me, and here was the testing I went through, he would say. It is as if Jesus says to his disciples and then to us, this is a time to look into your own hearts, to see what is testing you and how you're dealing with it. In our common national life, it's sad to say, but extremely obvious to see, that our leaders too often look for wedges, don't they? To steer us off course from loving our neighbor or caring for the poor, and instead get us to focus on what divides us. It keeps us from doing the good that we want to do and that we need to do. I think it's why Paul wrote these words in Romans. He wrote, I do not do the good I want to, but I do the very thing I do not want to do. We can all relate to that sometimes. It's the human experience. So Lent is the time where we can lift up that hard testing temptations we have before us which get us off the path of God, and we can freely admit whatever is in our heart. It's an ideal time to re-examine our core values as disciples of Christ and ask if indeed we really are going in the right direction. Time when we can be asking the question again, where is the Holy Spirit active around us in Bowie and beyond? Where is Jesus' ministry active? And then put up our sails in that direction and follow Jesus into the world. But most of all, Lent is a time when we could admit that what we need most of all is a Savior. Time of looking at those things that can get us to stray off the path and reaffirming our trust in God. Because we indeed do not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. May it be so. Thanks be to God. Amen.